Hamilton Pevic, thank you for joining me here in the studio, KDNK.
I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
This is not the first time your work has been featured here on the radio station. You've shared stories with our listeners ranging from protests to fashion. Let's start by talking about the American Immigrant series. What has podcasting meant to you, and how did this come together?
Well, podcasting initially was a way for me to exercise my storytelling muscles. I have a lot of stories that I want to tell, and as a filmmaker, I can't tell them all because making movies is a big production and takes time and energy, and I thought that podcasting and audio storytelling would be a way for me to dial down the production side and turn up the exercise side of it. So I basically just do it for fun.
And you've lived in Carbondale on and off for at least half your life now. Can you share what led you to Nepal and a few of the big things that happened in your life while you were there and kind of led to this podcast in a way?
I moved to Nepal because I fell in love. This is a story that I've told a few times. So I was there. She was there at the same time. I told her I had to go to Nepal to renew my Indian visa. And she said, when you're in Nepal, come and visit me. And I said, okay, great. So I went to Nepal, got my new visa, had a few weeks to travel around, and she invited me to her place. She said, hey, you can stay with me for free and eat for free if you make me a movie. And so we made a movie about her women's empowerment project. And that was the beginning of our romance, and the rest is history.
And were you prepared as an artist, as a storyteller, or was American Immigrant like the next chapter of a story? I mean, was this something new to you, or were these tools you already possessed and then suddenly the story happened?
American Immigrant was born out of the earthquake, the big one that happened in 2015. It killed 8,000 people. It was a 7.8. It shook the whole Himalaya. It was a really major catastrophe for the country and for the people. And I was there when it happened. And I got very much involved in the aid relief effort. And I thought, well, if I'm going to be doing all this, I got to be recording this. I got to be documenting this. And I thought of this thing that was like a new platform for storytelling. I call it active audience participation. So basically, if you listen to my podcast or watch my show, then you are contributing directly to the aid effort. And I thought, okay, I'm going to test this format in the podcast realm. And so I started creating content for the podcast about the earthquake. And that slowly evolved into these different, into different content, essentially. So I was telling stories about the gas crisis, the fuel crisis, when India closed the border and cut off the fuel supply to Nepal. And then my wife got pregnant, and I started telling the story of how we navigated the Nepali healthcare system, which was something that's difficult for Westerners to appreciate because it's so out there. So I made 5 episodes for American Immigrant. I have 2, maybe 3 more episodes unedited that I hope to make someday, but they're not done yet.
So much of your material is extremely personal, almost like you've brought listeners along to, you know, otherwise very intimate moments in your life where we listen to private conversations in places it's not clear the listener belongs. Talk about that.
Well, I'm attracted to documentary storytelling. You know, I like heavily produced pieces with narration, interviews, music. You know, that style really appeals to me. But for American Immigrant, and because of the nature of the content, specifically for the stories about my wife and I going through the healthcare system in Nepal, it didn't quite fit that format well. And my producer, Nisha Bremner, who's based out of New Zealand, she encouraged me to take a more intimate approach to this, where there was less narration and less producing, so that it was more like the listener was there with us in the room. And this has a very particular quality, something that can be quite compelling when it's done in a sort of unpretentious way. And I think I was able to capture that But a lot of it was just having the courage to hit record when you're lying in bed next to your loved one, or when you're having a conversation with your doctor, or when, you know, something personal is happening. You just have to, like, just bite your tongue and push record and hope that something comes out of it.
We're talking to several podcasters on Express Yourself this week. My guest is Hamilton Pevick. Podcasts have grown in popularity to the point where many people are making a living with this work. And your work seems like it's on this whole other plane outside of kind of the marketing and financial momentum that podcasts have. I don't know if I can imagine an apparel company or a brewery advertising during one of your podcasts. I guess it could be done. There's some personal stuff out there that's, you know, making money. But have you thought about producing other types of content beyond podcasts with your footage and stories from Nepal? I know you're a filmmaker. Is there a film in the works?
Yes, absolutely. American Immigrant, as much as it started off as a podcast, it always had this foundation as a documentary film, as that's my first craft. And so now it's been 3.5 years, and I am in post-production on this documentary film called Guerrilla Aid. And it's basically a story. It's a, you know, it's an intimate look at the amateur aid relief process, you know, ad hoc aid teams that rise up out of nowhere because there's nobody else to help. And I was there. I was doing it. I was deeply moved by witnessing the destruction and the need for help there. And I just kept my camera rolling the whole time I was organizing aid missions and delivering direct aid relief. So Guerrilla Aid follows me through the process of learning how to be an aid worker, along with my friends who are also figuring it out as we go. And we did our best to be responsible with the money that people sent us. Carbondale raised a lot of money for the aid effort in Nepal. I received quite a lot of money from Carbondale, and I felt a deep obligation and responsibility to this community and to the people who are meant to receive that aid relief. And so the movie is the process of figuring that out as we go.
So walk us back through the timeline of events. When did the earthquake hit? You were already there. What is the timeline of your film?
The earthquake hit on April 25th, 2015, and I was sitting in this beautiful garden courtyard, interviewing a friend of mine who's a Mount Everest guide. And he had, in the couple of years before, launched a paraglider off the summit. And I was doing follow-up interviews for a film that I had already made about that expedition. I knew right away I have to just keep rolling. So the next day, I went to the hospital and started interviewing survivors that were being helicoptered in from the hardest hit areas. And the day after that, I got involved with a aid convoy that was going to the epicenter. At this point, I was working as a stringer for CNN. I was filming content and emailing it back to them as I was filming it. And witnessing the destruction, witnessing the desperation of the people, like seeing this kind of thing for the first hand affected me deeply. And I realized, like, I'm not just going to be the guy with the camera here. I'm going to help in a more significant way. And so I did that for 6 or 7 months. We ran 7 aid missions. And then at that point, I was pretty burnt out, and the emergency hadn't finished yet. It was still going on. And even now, recovery isn't complete. You know, there's been rebuilding about a year and a half after there was actually 2 big earthquakes, but a year and a half after the first 2 big initial earthquakes, we started the reconstruction in the village where ended up this village, Bumpale in southern Gorkha, ended up being the focus of a lot of the aid money that we received because their entire village was destroyed. They were a low-caste village that was basically neglected by all the other aid agencies, and it just was like a right fit. And I had to answer this question, which keeps coming up throughout the work, which was basically, do you help a lot of people a little bit, or do you help a few people a lot? And the movie answers that question.
So you said you're in post-production. How about a timeline for those of us who are looking forward to seeing it?
So it's been 3.5 years since the initial earthquake, and I am now in post-production, and it's a very fulfilling creative experience. However, I have no funding to finish this movie, and I've been looking for it with my producer, and we have very positive feedback and a lot of encouragement, but nobody stepped up and offered us completion funds. So it's rude to ask documentary filmmakers when their movie's coming out, but I'm aiming for spring 2019.
Wow, that's really soon. I hoped to kind of push the envelope on what's considered acceptable to ask, partly to trigger some thinking in our audience that maybe there are those who want to reach out to you if they are anxious to learn more about this and potentially support the film. How do people track you down? What's the best way to reach you?
If anyone's interested in asking about my project or getting involved in Guerrilla Aid, the documentary, it's best to reach out to KDNK, and KDNK will get in touch with me.
That's great. Well, our focus today is on podcasting. Before we go, I noticed you started something called Podcast DJs. What's up with that?
Podcast DJ is a Facebook page designed as curated listening for discerning ears. As a major consumer of podcasts,
yeah.
I thought it strange that there was no short lists of great shows or any sort of curated lists for podcasts in general. And I thought, well, if there isn't one, then I should create one. So I like to use the shorthand pod jockey as a way to describe the process. But basically, it's a list of the best episodes, the best shows, in terms of content and production value, like things that resonate with me and hopefully with my audience. There's just so much content out there.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of podcasts available. Where do you begin? And that's where Podcast DJ comes in. It's a short list of the best shows out there that I've heard, that I've found, and I keep finding new great content, and I keep sharing it through Podcast DJ. So if you need a place to start looking for podcasts, check out Podcast DJ.
And can people find that on Facebook?
Yeah.
Hamilton Pevic, thank you so much for speaking to KDK.
Gavin Dahl, thank you.